Good morning, and it is good to be here. Our text is from Mark 9. And the circumstances, the context, is that Jesus is speaking on the subject of humility. The disciples have just been arguing about which one is the greatest. And Jesus begins to teach them some principles about humility. This is not easy for us to apply to ourselves because, as most of you well know, it's difficult to be humble when we're Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. But we will still take a stab at this in applying this text to our lives. And I think it has some beautiful messages for you and for me. Let's begin by making some assumptions on who this man may be that the disciples attempt to stop. Teacher, said John, we saw a man driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us. We don't have a lot of information, but I'm going to take some guesses this morning. I'm going to draw seven assumptions about this man. First of all, I would say he was someone who had heard Jesus preach and teach. Secondly, I'm sure he saw Jesus in action, casting out demons. Thirdly, I believe he came to faith in Christ as the Messiah. We don't know how detailed this faith was, or if he totally understood Jesus' purposes. But certainly he had some awareness of Jesus as the Messiah. Fourth, this was rather an independent personality type person. He did not join Jesus' circle. He went out on his own. Fifth, I would describe this person as courageous. He was committed to battling evil in Jesus' name, wherever he found evil. Sixth, he glorified Jesus, not himself. He cast out the demons in Jesus' name. And finally, this was not a man that was easily intimidated. Because when the disciples told him to stop, we get a parallel in the Gospel of Luke. It certainly appears that this man did not stop. He was not easily intimidated. When I accepted the assignment to come and preach here for one of your chapel services, a fellow pastor asked me if I was intimidated, but I can see that you are the ones that are intimidated. No one is sitting up front here. But this evidently was a man not easily intimidated. Well, how did the disciples react to all of this? Well, we are told they tried to stop him because he was not one of us. And then, basically, they asked Jesus, did we do the right thing? And how does Jesus answer? Let me paraphrase his answer a little bit. Jesus begins by saying, don't stop him. And he gives two reasons, I think, in these verses, why they shouldn't have stopped him and why they didn't do the right thing. Don't stop him. One, he is for us, at least to some extent. And we need those who are for us. After all, if he's doing something positive in my name, Jesus was saying, it's not likely that the next moment he will do something negative. After all, the harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. Let's not knock off one of the laborers. And then Jesus answers in a second way. He says, even a little act in my name, like offering a cup of cool water to someone, will not go unrewarded. And yet here we have a powerful act in my name of battling Satan and casting out demons. Let's draw a couple of principles that I think can be helpful to all of us in this text. And it all, remember, is under the umbrella of humility and servanthood. Certainly, this text is not speaking to the issue that differences in doctrine make no difference, or that unionism is okay, or we ought to all go and have communion together. Certainly, this is not being touched on here. But under the banner of humility, I would draw first a principle that we are to be patient and careful about passing judgment on others who are serving Christ. I've heard the old story of the little girl who becomes very surprised when she finds out that Jesus was Jewish. And she becomes very disturbed about this and says, Jesus may have been Jewish, but God is a Baptist. And certainly it's normal to feel that our group is doing a good job. But in a state of humility, we need to also recognize that we don't have all the answers. When we see some positive Christian virtue or virtues in someone else or in some other group, we need to be careful and not be too quick to criticize or to stop them or to put them down. Maybe they are not doing everything right in our eyes, but if they are serving Christ, we need to praise God. Always reminded about this beautiful verse in Philippians chapter 2. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. So the first principle is to be careful about passing judgment on others who are serving Christ. And the second principle, under again the banner of humility, is don't be troubled by the success of others. When we hear someone outside our group achieving something, doing well in Jesus' name, there's a tendency to feel jealous, or everything can't be good because it's not part of our group. Certainly one example may be the church growth movement. And parts of church growth I can't agree with, yet people are being touched by the love of Jesus. And Jesus is being lifted up. And many are coming to a deeper understanding and a commitment in Christ crucified and the resurrection. Congregations are growing. People are using their spiritual gifts in service to Jesus and others. Other denominations and other Christians, many of them doing great work in Jesus' name, we are to be thankful. We are to be humble, to learn from others, realize we don't have all the answers. Even within our own synod, it's easy to become jealous about those who are doing a great work. In our own congregation, we're in the southwest part of Fort Wayne, and just to the west of us, which is really the growing area, 4 or 5 miles to our west, we were doing really well several years ago. Everybody would transfer in who moved into that area, and we were growing just by sitting around. Suddenly, a new congregation, a Boyd Lutheran, comes into that area, begins to do things a little different, and they start to grow rapidly. Pretty soon, we're not just sitting around taking in transfers anymore. It was easy for us to begin to feel jealous and to criticize. They're doing some things that aren't really Lutheran. But we needed to stop and step back a little bit and recognize humbly that we should be careful about passing judgment and thank God for their ministry and their success. In conclusion, I simply want to encourage all of us to be supportive of other ministries that are clearly serving and lifting up Jesus, to learn from them, and to work together whenever possible to extend the kingdom of God without compromising our doctrine. In Jesus' name, amen.